This morning, I want us to see the connection that every believer has with Ruth. You, a 21st century Christian, if you are a believer, with Ruth, a 12th century BC Christian. A commitment to the Lord reveals to us a very simple faith. Time and time, she comes back to the Lord to be her refuge. She trusted in the plain teachings, truths, and laws that God had given her. She's not the only example of true faith that we find in the Bible. In order to be an example to us and to encourage us to follow it, there are many others. But she is the one that the Lord had determined that we need to consider at this time. Now, we are not looking at Ruth in order to be fixated on her. Rather, her story displays something of the profound care and salvation that God has for His children. I hope by looking at Ruth and her example of faith that you will be encouraged. Let us have a look. In chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, we considered the fact that when we reach a crossroads in life, if we are faced with a temptation, a crisis, or an opportunity, regardless of whether this is results in a major or a minor decision, it is serious or not, it is big or small, let us decide for God. Let us not make decisions that seems to be most favorable to us, but rather choose what will honor God most. Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, were two destitute widows. In addition, Naomi also lost both of her sons. Ruth was a Moabite woman that found herself in a crossroads in life. Will she stay in Moab with her family and her gods? Or will she go back with Naomi to the land of Israel? Her sister-in-law, Orpah, or her co-sister, turns back to the land of Moab. But she doesn't. And she made a remarkable profession of faith in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. She said to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you and return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. May God do so to me, and even more so, if anything but death separates me from you. Your God shall be my God, and your people my people." Ruth, previously an unbeliever, now professed faith in God. Choosing God and attaching herself to Naomi and to God's people. This shows to us a simple but courageous faith. Last month, from Ruth chapter 2, we saw something of what her newfound faith in God looked like and His corresponding care and provision for her and for Naomi. Ruth had sacrificed a lot to give up her people and her country by choosing to go with Naomi, who could not really offer much to her. Rather, Ruth acted really like a son to Naomi, by taking care of her and going into the fields as per the provision that God had made in Israel for the poor and the strangers of the land to go and glean food during the time of the barley harvest. And the people of Bethlehem took notice of Ruth and the way in which she had cared for her mother-in-law. All the while that she was doing this, she consciously and intentionally placed herself under the wings of God for refuge. And that is what she is commended for in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. This shows to us her sacrificial and deliberate faith. And consequently, we saw that little by little, the invisible hand of God was at work through everyday life circumstances and events. Naomi and Ruth had nothing to eat. They were in Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. As Ruth goes and gleans grain, she happens to end up in the field of Boaz. He happens to arrive on the day that she's there and happens to notice her. He shows kindness to her and he blesses her with the equivalent of 1 month's worth of food. When she goes home and tells Naomi all that had happened, Naomi happened to remember that Boaz was a near relative of theirs, a kinsman redeemer. God is busy. He's at work in the lives of ordinary Christians. However, that is not the end of it. Because Ruth chapter 3 takes one step further. For there is more to be seen about the faith of Ruth and also God's corresponding care of that faith. Notice with me, God's provision of a redeemer for Ruth. In chapter 2 and verse 20, Naomi told Ruth that Boaz is one of their kinsmen redeemers. Perhaps your translation uses the word near or close relative, or just simply redeemer. The word redeemer in the Hebrew comes from the root word choel, which means deliverer, ransomer, or purchaser. God made a law in Israel that provided for members of families who were suffering. For example, if someone fell into financial difficulty and sold themselves as slaves to get out of it into slavery, or if they had lost their property or their husbands died and they were left without male children, then the closest family member that was a male on the husband's side had the responsibility to deliver, to redeem this particular family member in crisis, to buy back their freedom or the property that they lost, or to marry a widow so that she could bear a male child, so that the name of the family of the deceased could be continued. We read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and also Leviticus chapter 25. For a woman to be a widow in the ancient world meant that she had no protection, care, or security without a husband. And for her to be left without a son was terrible, especially if she was old, because she didn't have a son to take care of her and she may not have been able to remarry again. And if she died in that state, the family name would not be continued, and it would have been as if she had never existed. But in Israel, God's law gave protection to such vulnerable people. We have two needy women in this category, Naomi and Ruth. God took care of them, we saw that. He provided for them food through Ruth that gleaned in Boaz's fields. But now they have reached the end of the barley harvest. The landowners were now busy at the threshing floor to winnow the grain, which was a process to separate the grain from the chaff. And so Naomi said to Ruth, "My daughter," in verse 1 of chapter 3, "shall I not seek security for you, so that things may be well with you?" The Hebrew word that is used for security is, "shall I not seek a place of rest for you?" Naomi is concerned for Ruth. "Shall I not provide hope for you, my daughter?" And the only hope that they had was through the kinsman redeemer, which is what God made a law for, to provide for in such cases. And Ruth so happened to have met the kinsman redeemer Boaz. Now, a redeemer had to be somebody that was very close. They had to be next of kin, a kinsman, in order to qualify as a redeemer. But for a redeemer or a kinsman to be a redeemer, they had to also be very different to the member in need, the family member in need. They needed to be able to help them. That means they needed to be a person of ability, of resources, money, and means. But they also needed to be willing to do so, to act as a redeemer, to help them. A family who had a kinsman redeemer who was able but not willing was no help to that family member at all. Now, this idea of a redeemer is a picture to us, or a shadow of a greater reality. That is, God Himself is a redeemer. God's law is a reflection of the character of God and what He is like. If He made provision for destitute people and those who have fallen on hard times through the provision of a kinsman redeemer law, then it is because God Himself has a redeeming heart, and indeed is a redeemer. We see this principle of shadows pointing to greater realities in many places in God's Word. For example, think of marriage. Marriage between a husband and a wife, which in its own right is a wonderful institution. But do you realize that it is also a picture that points to the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church? You can see it points to a greater reality. Similarly, parenting. The care and the compassion of a mom and dad that they have for their child is a picture, albeit an imperfect picture, of how God relates to His own children. There's another one. Take the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. Those sacrifices were a picture of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ for His people. But coming back to the concept of the Redeemer. In the Old Testament, we learn that God says that He is the Redeemer of His people. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, God says to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." The context here is that the nation of Israel was in slavery in the land of Egypt. They were in trouble, and they suffered, and they were oppressed under the hands of the Egyptians and their king Pharaoh. You know the story. But God says, I will redeem you. And he did. The New Testament builds on this, but moves from Egypt as the 1500 BC oppressor of God's people to our great enemy, sin, that is bringing so much misery, division, and conflict in our world today, which we are really aware of, so keenly aware of, and ultimately brings about death. Once again, God is a redeemer. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 to 25, we are told all about it. For we have all sinned, it says, and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, and here it comes, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation or an atoning sacrifice by His blood through faith. These verses tell us that Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, provides redemption. Or eternal redemption, as Hebrews 9 verse 12 puts it. From sin, through His blood. That means by way of His own death. We saw earlier that a kinsman redeemer had to be a near relative who was both willing and able to redeem, i.e. a family member. In other words, similar but different. Jesus Christ is similar but different to us. He is near to us in that He was fully man, and He can fully identify with our weaknesses. But He is infinitely different to us, that He is fully God, and therefore He is absolutely willing and infinitely able to be our Redeemer. The point is, God provides a Redeemer for Ruth Boaz. That is so because God Himself is a Redeemer, to whom ultimately Ruth came for redemption. Coming back to our text, Ruth had been working in Boaz's fields for at least about 2 months, and they'd now reached the end of the harvest. But so far, nothing had happened about Boaz stepping forward and fulfilling his role as a kinsman redeemer. So Naomi takes initiative in verses 3 and 4 and gives Ruth all sorts of instructions. Says to her, take a bath, put on perfume, and anoint yourself. Put on your best clothing and go to the threshing floor where Boaz will be. It was the time of harvest. There would have been lots of celebration and gladness over what God had provided. So everyone would have been gathered at the place where the harvest was collected. So Ruth was to go there and watch where Boaz would go and sleep. And then after he had fallen asleep, Naomi said to her, go and uncover his feet and lie down at his feet and wait for him to wake up, which would have happened sooner or later with his feet exposed, would get cold at some time during the night, and then he would wake up. Naomi says, then when he wakes up, he will tell you what you should do. What was this act of Ruth communicating? Some people make all sorts of suggestions about Ruth's actions, including that they were seductive. Now, obviously, this was, even at the time, a very culturally sensitive thing to do. However, remember our three main characters: Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz. Naomi was a godly woman, and she would not make a suggestion to Ruth if it was going to be out of order. And Ruth, we are told explicitly in verse 11, she was a virtuous woman. The Hebrew word used for virtuous means a woman of strong spiritual character. And Boaz was a gracious, God-fearing man. Sure, the perfume of the woman in the middle of the night may have been a temptation for many, and this may not be what we would suggest that anyone should do in our day and age. But there is no sign in our passage of anything of a compromise. Anyway, from verse 9 to 15, we see that Boaz wakes up in the middle of the night, and he is surprised. There's a woman lying at his feet. The Hebrew word that is used for surprised means he was fearful. Who are you? Look at Ruth's response in verse 9. I am Ruth, your maidservant. Naomi said to Ruth, Boaz will tell you what to do. But here we see instead that Ruth tells Boaz what he should do. She asks him, and this is her request, take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Since you are my kinsman redeemer, please take care of me. Interesting, in chapter 2 and verse 12, Boaz said to Ruth at a previous time, the Lord repay you for your work and give you a full reward. By the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. All along, Ruth has come to God for refuge. Now she is expressing that by asking Boaz to take her under his care. In other words, to marry her as per the provision of God's law. God has provided for me a kinsman redeemer, and Boaz, you qualify in that role. Please do that for me. That was her request. In Ruth, we are given a 12th century BC example of true faith. What is true faith? In our church doctrinal statement, which is taken from the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith and also from the Westminster Confession of Faith, we are told the following about true faith. Christians believe to be true everything that's revealed in God's Word, for it is the authority of God Himself. But the principal acts of saving faith focus directly on Christ. Accepting, receiving, and resting upon Him alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life by virtue of the covenant of grace. Sure, that is theological and it is dense. But what does this mean in plain English? Generally speaking, true faith believes in the triune God and all that He has revealed in His Word. But the specific object of true faith is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to Him to deliver us from the pollution and the power and the consequences of sin, to lead us and provide for us throughout this life and to give us eternal life for the life to come. And this is all by God's grace, through faith and in Christ alone. It is the same for believers of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all times, including Ruth. The passage of Scripture that was read to us earlier, from Hebrews chapter 11 and straight into the first two verses of chapter 12, shows to us how our faith connects with those of the New Testament and the Old Testament and those of all time. Now, it could not have been easy for Ruth to approach Boaz. It was in the middle of the night. She's a servant, he's a master. She's a foreign woman, he's an Israelite. We can maybe even say, she's a woman, he was a man. If he took offense of her and was offended, what then? What if he was not interested in being her kinsman redeemer? There's a lot at stake for Ruth. But she went ahead. Listen to what Boaz said to Ruth, or rather what she said to Boaz. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. She basically places her life into his hands. How did Boaz respond? Notice verse 10, he said, "The Lord bless you, my daughter." What a gracious response. Boaz reassures her. He does not take advantage of her, but he commits to help her. Strictly speaking, he was not obliged to do so, because we were told that there was a nearer kinsman redeemer closer to Ruth in verse 12. But he assures her that he will help her. Also, he is sensitive to her reputation and makes sure that she leaves early in the morning before anyone could recognize her. But he does not send her home without a gift. He gives her 6 measures of grain. Isn't it interesting how the Lord behind the scenes is providing for Ruth? When Ruth arrived home, Naomi was greatly encouraged after Ruth told her all that had happened. Now Naomi gave her some good advice. There in verse 18, "Sit still until you know how the matter will turn out." In this, there is a great lesson for us for today. There comes a time when you have done all that God has called you to do, and then you need to wait and trust the providence of God. You need to wait and trust in God's loving care to unfold into your in your circumstances. How relieved Ruth must have felt. Imagine how she felt before she went to Boaz. And now think of how she felt after she had returned home. Let us close with a few points of application. Firstly, Ruth is an example to us of a simple but principled faith. She takes God as her God and she comes under his care. His word and commands are the principles by which she lives out her practical faith and doing what is right, honorable, and even at a personal cost to herself. And it is also a faith that is a step-by-step faith, following the Lord, then waiting for him to answer and provide for her. Ruth is an example of a simple and a principled faith. I want to tell you the story of another woman who also had a simple faith, but a very bold faith. Her name was Anne Askew. She only lived to be 25 years old, from 1521 to 1546 in England, at a time when the church in England held to many false beliefs. She had joined an illegal Bible study in the king's palace, believe it or not. But she became known for her bold faith. So much so that some of the churchmen in her day took notice of her faith, and they decided they wanted to make an example of her. So they arranged for her to get arrested because she did not hold to the faith that was accepted, and appear before the mayor of London. He questioned her, "Why do you say that you would rather read 5 lines from the Bible than attend 5 masses or church services?" Her answer to this was, "Because the one helps me greatly and the other one does not help me at all." Second question, "Do you believe that you've got the Holy Spirit of God in you?" Her answer, "If I did not, I would not be saved and I would have no hope." She was thrown in prison, and then she appeared before the Bishop of London. In an attempt to get her to recant her faith, he drew up a list of beliefs of the church and asked her to sign it. She read through the paper carefully, and then at the bottom of the list, she signed her name with the words, "I believe in everything written here that agrees with the Word of God." He got enraged. He tore up the paper, and he sent her back to a prison cell. 3 months later, she was declared to be a heretic and sentenced to death. In response, she prayed to the Lord, saying to him, "On you I cast my care." Before her death, they said, "Renounce your faith and you will be pardoned." She replied, "I did not come here to deny my Lord and my Master." She then died for Christ in the flames. A year later, King Henry VIII died, and the beliefs of Anne Askew was written into the Statement of Faith of the Church of England. The Lord provided little by little for Ruth, and the Lord provided for Anne Askew in very different ways. What are you doing when you are overwhelmed? What will you do when you feel vulnerable and in need of protection or redemption? When you and I feel like that, we can follow Ruth's example and come to God with all these things. Because we saw that God had been faithful to Naomi and to Ruth, and he responded to their faith little by little. God provided for their needs, the needs of these two vulnerable women, providing food during the harvest, giving Ruth a good testimony among the people, care of Naomi for Ruth, an older, more mature believer. God brings Boaz into Ruth's life, who shows kindness and care for her. And now the Lord lined up Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. But let us remember that this points us to the greater reality that even though God may provide all these things for us in everyday life, He is ultimately our Redeemer. He shows Himself to be Ruth's Redeemer, and He's also a Redeemer for us. We are more vulnerable than we think. Things like poor health, aging, loss, trauma, instability can leave us easily exposed. Our sinfulness can cause us to fall a lot further and easier than what we may be willing to admit. Ruth went to lie down at the feet of a kinsman redeemer. Let us follow Ruth's example and go and lie down at the feet of our Savior. Because even though Boaz was gracious to Ruth, the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, is infinitely more gracious and kind when we come to Him for protection, provision, and deliverance. For He Himself said, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My burden is easy and My yoke is light." The story is not finished yet, because next Sunday we will continue in Ruth chapter 4 and see the Lord's ongoing care for Ruth and Naomi, and Lord willing, for us too.